Vardalos is the Academy Award-nominated actress and writer of the blockbuster hit My Big Fat Greek Wedding. An alumnus of the Second City Comedy Theater, some of her other film critics are Connie and Carla and My Life in Ruins. Nia also co-wrote Larry Crown with Tom Hanks. Nia's new book, Instant Mom, chronicles the bumpy road to parenting she and her husband, actor Ian Gomez, traveled. Friend and colleague, the comedian Rachel Dratch, summed the book up brilliantly. Instant Mom is not just for anyone considering adoption, and not just for anyone who ever thought of becoming a parent. It's for anyone whose big life plan doesn't follow the path they thought it would, and shows us that unexpected obstacles can lead to beautiful rewards. Welcome, Nia. It's a pleasure to have you join us on the Book Report.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just getting used to this new title of author.
All right. I have to say, Instant Mom, I read it in one afternoon, and it feels like you're sitting in the room talking to me.
Oh, that's the ultimate compliment. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You.
In the book, you describe yourself as a middle child Canadian who's basically annoyingly nice and wants to see everyone happy. So I'm a youngest child Pittsburgher. Same description, though, so it's nice to meet a kindred spirit.
Yeah, I am happiest on my movie sets when everyone has a drink and a snack and everyone's waiting and the director says action and I go, yay, let's act.
It took you 10 years to become a mom, yet you named your book Instant Mom. How come?
It's an ironic twist in that my daughter was almost 3 years old when we met. And so, and also, yeah, we met 9 months after I had begun working with American Foster Care. So we went through the process. We had a home study fingerprints. And then one night, the phone rang, and I heard about a little girl, almost 3 years old, who had been legally emancipated, living in a loving foster home. And as my husband and I drove to meet her, I cannot explain to you why I knew that this was it. I knew it. This was going to work. And as we got, she was in a parking lot with a lot of social workers, a lot of people standing around her, and she was in social workers' arms, a little brown-haired, almost three-year-old little girl. And as we walked toward her, of all the people in the parking lot, this little girl turned around and looked right at me. And all I thought was, oh, I found you. And that was it. From that time on, I became her mom. I was her mom, an instant mom, just like that, of an almost three-year-old little girl. And as you know, the book, Instant Mom, is pretty honest about all the things that it took me to become a mom. And then, because I don't want to sugarcoat adoption, I'm pretty honest about how it was to transition an almost three-year-old little girl into our home. It was not easy, and I'm laughing now because my daughter's eight, and all these stories are funny to all of us now, but at the time, all I cared about was trying to help this child feel safe, and she was pretty mad.
Yeah, and also you had quite a bit of sleep deprivation in the early days.
Yes, it was challenging and yet rewarding because she punched, she kicked, she screamed, she was angry, she was terrified. We were two giant adults. She didn't understand why she was with us, and also she was afraid, of course, that we would leave. And so we had therapists come in, we went to a sleep therapist, we had so much help with these social workers. They were just on the phone all the time and I could confide in them. And then we learned through a really great sleep therapist what to do, and I know it sounds absolutely insane that we did it now, but we did it. We put a cot in her room and slept on the cot. No matter what time she went to bed, we stayed in the room. So that when she woke up in these, and I'm not exaggerating, 2-minute increments, I was there.
Yes.
And then the 2 minutes slowly turned into 20 minutes, and I was there. And we got her to trust us by showing her no matter what, when she went to sleep, either myself or my husband would be in that cot. And within 6 months, she was sleeping 10 hours a night.
Yeah, well, congratulations. During the process of adopting, you admit that the social workers' visits for your home study was more stressful than meeting the Queen of England. Share that story.
Well, I weave in what I call my shameless name-dropping Hollywood stories. My producers of my first movie are Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks and Tom's partner, Gary Getzman. Well, I tell that story. I tell how I met them. They came to my one-woman show and read my screenplay of My Big Fat Greek Wedding and then let me star in it. I also had dinner with the Queen of England. So I thought, if I'm never going to write an autobiography, I'm never going to write about my daughter again. But wait a minute, I think I can weave them all together. So I tell the story of when the social workers were coming over. I'm not a grown-up. My husband is also an actor. The two of us are extremely immature people, and somehow we've gotten through having dinner with the Queen of England. We were invited when she was on her Jubilee tour through Canada, and yet meeting the social workers who would deem or not deem us responsible enough to be parents made us sweat more.
I believe it. I have two children and one is adopted. I've done the home visit thing and I baked brownies just so the house would smell good.
That's great. Yeah, you read in the book. I made up words. I was so anxious to let her think that I was some sort of, you know, TV mom, that I said things like, yes, I like to cook and homemake.
Right. I wanted to ask you kind of a more serious question. As you know and wrote about so poignantly in your book, once you're a mom, it doesn't matter how the child came to you. Your love is absolute. As an advocate for adoption and foster care, how difficult has it been for you to get this message across?
Well, it's difficult because, as I say, I don't want to sugarcoat it. And, of course, there are children living in American foster care who are going to need a very patient and tolerant parent to take them in. But because I've met those parents, I've met the people that take in special needs kids and kids from abusive and neglectful backgrounds, and then seen the kids go on to lead productive and wholly splendid lives, I thought, well, I have to write about this. I have to find a way to counterbalance the media's seeming need to just tell us the scary stories by just telling about the stories that I've seen. But as I say in the book, yes, there are some kids that live in terrible situations, and I just wanted to talk about them all because there might be a person out there who goes, hey, my kids are in college. I'm going to take in that kid.
Yeah. At the end of the book, you include a how to adopt appendix. For someone who may be considering foster adoption, what's an average wait time and describe the process?
The process is the same for adopting by American foster care or domestically or bringing a child from an international adoption into your home. You have to have a home study. You have to have a background check and fingerprinting. And then it gets different, which is why the 25 pages of how to adopt from all over the world are what it's the book I was looking for. I couldn't figure out what was the difference between a foster family agency and a foster agency. I just couldn't figure it out. So that's why I describe all the ways to adopt. What I suggest is, actually, I'm not really calling myself an adoption advocate anymore. Having been on the book tour, I realize what's resonating with people from the book is that it's not an adoption book. Women are seeing it as a feminist guide to happiness. And I realize, I've got to go back and find a different way to describe it. It is my autobiography on being a fearless idiot. It led me to a career in getting to be a working actor and writer, and it also led me to the happiness of being a mom. But that's not for everybody. And that's why I'm realizing that these 20-year-olds who are reading my book and trying to break into screenwriting, that makes me happy too.
Yeah. All right. I have an extremely important question for you. Are you teaching your daughter about the miracle of Windex?
My daughter has never seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding. That was, of course, our choice first. My husband and I decided not to show her films and TV shows to try and help her identify family members as who they are, because my real family is in My Big Fat Greek Wedding and all my movies. My cousins and aunts, uncles, everyone shows up to be background actors. So we felt it would confuse her to see My Big Fat Greek Wedding and seeing my husband actually plays John Corbett's best friend. That would be confusing. So she's never seen it. She doesn't know the Windex joke. But of course, my dad does walk around with a bottle of Windex saying, Windex is a cure for everything.
That is now in the American, lexicon of terms. So what are you working on now?
I'm writing a movie for Paramount. It's an anti-romantic comedy. I asked them if I could write a movie making fun of all my other movies. And they said, sure. So I'm producing it with two other fantastic producers, and I'm playing one of the roles. It's an ensemble movie. A bunch of people throw an all-night party.
Well, all right.
My husband and I have decided we are donating the proceeds of the book Instant Mom to children's charities all over the world. We noticed the one thing over and over again when we meet these charities and we meet these people in these orphanages, they need money. They need money for mental health for these kids. They need money to get the information out. They need money to help parents come to their country and adopt. So if you're listening to this interview and saying, well, what can I do? You can buy the book and the money will go to help kids get a home.
And I want to say, readers, you should buy the book because it's so much fun and it's so warm and wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.